Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. This is episode 87, and we will be talking about all things Acolyte, including this latest episode 6 that dropped this week, named Teach Corrupt. But before we get started, I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank the 432 subscribers here on the YouTube channel. If you have not subscribed yet, please consider subscribing so you can be notified when our new episodes release, as well as any other videos that come out, like box breaks and episode reactions like we did this week for episode 6. You can also email us at hothhangout@gmail.com with any questions or comments about Star Wars or anything else so we can showcase them on our episodes. The Hoth Hangout Podcast is available anywhere you get you can find your pods, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please leave us a 5-star review so other Star Wars fans can find us more easily. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout, and you can find the Discord link in our show notes if you would like to join our community there as well. And to start off the discussions here, we wanted to pose a question to you, the viewers and the listeners out there in the podcast world. Will Soul turn to the dark side? I think we've seen a couple of instances here where he's done quote-unquote non-Jedi type of activities. Is he actually going to end up turning to the dark side, join Chimere, or what's the deal there? So let us know what you think here in the comments. We'll put polls out there on YouTube as well as on X to see what everyone's thoughts are. So come join in the discussions. We love to have them here. As you could see, again, I am alone. Ben has vacation time this week, so just me again today. Just like how he did it a couple of weeks ago when I was sick. So thanks, Ben, again for holding it down then. This is going to be a pretty quick episode, I think. We just wanted to talk a little bit more about the recap of the episode. We're not going to go through the usual news and viewer comments and all that. We're gonna save all that for next week when Ben's back. So, but yeah, we're just gonna jump right into it. Hopefully this is gonna be a much faster episode. I think when Ben was running solo, his episode was about 30 minutes or so. I'm gonna try to beat it. Me, Gibbo, and Ben always talk about wanting to have like episodes under an hour. I like to think that it's because of Ben. I don't think that's news to anyone. I think it's Ben that talks more and more for the episode to get longer and longer. So hopefully my episode will be a lot shorter than his. Again, we've got the episode 6. It was called Teach Corrupt. Two main storylines that were told through this. Obviously, we have the Mei and Sol storyline where they kind of start on the ship after leaving Kofar. And then there's the Osha and Chimere storyline that is kind of happening on this unknown planet. So normally what we would do, Ben would kind of talk through the entire episode and we would stop at certain points. Going to do it a little bit differently today. I'm just going to go like to each storyline and talk about each storyline individually as opposed to how it was chronologically through the episode. So it's just a little bit different just to mix things up about it. And again, if you like this way over the way that we do it, let us know. We always like to hear that kind of feedback. We'll start off with Mei and Sol again leaving Kofar. Not a ton happens with them. I don't really think so. I think more the interest is happening with Osha and Chimere. But with Mei and Sol, they leave Kofar. Sol tries to contact the Coruscant, but the comm signal goes bad. Sol decides he wants to tell everything to the High Council. He kind of talks to Mei about this, and in that particular conversation, even she, I think right before that, she has like one of her daggers, and she wants to, it looks like she wants to go after and kill Sol at that moment, but then that's when he kind of flips it on her. I think he hugs her at one point, which was really awkward. He ends up confessing he wants to tell everything to the High Council about what he did. And I mentioned in the reactions, it kind of seemed like that's what she wants. She wants the people to know what happened, what the Jedi did back on Brendok, which we still don't know at this point, and confess it to the High Council. So an interesting part, I didn't really mention Venestra in all this, but Venestra seems to know a little bit what has happened as well. She isn't completely telling everything either. So we'll see what happens there. It was interesting because Mei kind of turned the idea into from wanting to kill Saul than to wanting to hear more about what happened on Brendok, which I think we all really want to do, right? So the next thing that happens is Saul figured out that it was actually Mei, and he stuns her in the pilot seat. Right before then, that's when Mei was kind of pretending to be like Osha. She was saying things like, I had to change everything I was to become a Jedi. He like was apologizing to her. And I don't know if that's when he figured out that that was Mei or not. Throughout this entire episode, Saul was very much showing very emotional type of behavior. He was very, you know, he was, visibly tearing up and crying at one point. He was like kind of banging his hand on the table there, just trying to figure out exactly what to do. And for a moment there, it just like seemed like he was completely clouded. His judgment was completely clouded by all these emotions he was having. It made sense in the time that like, okay, well, maybe that's what the problem is that he just doesn't know that it's her because he's got all these emotions running around. But at some point, he just figures it out. And I'm not quite sure exactly the moment where it happened, but it just like what had happened with Mei a couple of times, where she just decides to light up the fortress there on Brendok. The time when she just decides to switch it on Chimere, who ends up being the stranger, by the way. Just these kind of quick moments that I'm just like, I didn't quite get it. Sometimes I have to go back and look back and see, okay, maybe I just missed that moment. But even through the watch through in this one, I wasn't quite sure. So let me know what you guys think of like the moment that Saul figured out that that was Mei and not Osha at all. Jedi finally get a hold of Saul because remember the comms weren't working earlier on. But then he turns off his transmission, then the hyperspace jumps out of there. And I'm assuming to find Osha and Chimere at this time. This, again, is where I was, you know, where I was going with the non-Jedi activity type of thing. So, you know, you would think that he would go back to Vernestra and try to figure out, you know, let's get our heads together, try to figure this out. So once again, he has kind of gone rogue and taken off again. And of course, the moment he hyperspace jumps out of the system, who comes in but Vernestra comes in around the Kofar system, and then she lands there, and you know she and that's when she lets loose the whip lightsaber that everyone's kind of been waiting for. She uses it on one of those Umbra moths, which was, I don't know, I guess, but I wish it was on like another opponent, another enemy, but hopefully that's not the last we've seen of that. So that was a pretty cool scene there. On Kofar now, you know, I know that we were talking about these two main storylines, but I did want to mention this piece here. Vernestra and I believe the other Jedi name was Mog. They were on Kofar trying to figure out exactly what happened there because Saul had originally contacted Mog and the Jedi to try to get them to get there so they can help out. But again, that's when Saul kind of just takes off out of nowhere. On Kofar, they were trying to figure out what happened there. Vernestra was able to use her force powers to kind of reenact exactly what had happened. And ultimately, they was determined that there was a very powerful being, a fallen Jedi for that matter, who had done all this. Mog had made the assumption that maybe that was Saul. And of course, Vernestra had none of that. They didn't want anything to do with that. So they end up going back to the ship and then, you know, they kind of go off. Anyway. So I think Vernestra's role in the next episode is going to be pretty big, at least I'm hoping, because she's got to go find everything. She's got to figure all of this out. I don't know if she tries to beat Saul to Osha and Chimere. I don't know exactly where, but I have a feeling that she needs to be a little bit more involved in the happenings coming up pretty soon. Now, at the end of the episode, we have Saul cuffing Mei to a bed after he had like stunned her. So she's cuffed to the bed, and essentially what he wants is to have a conversation with her and tell her or maybe discuss what happened on Brendok. And of course, before he could say exactly what happened, you know, they kind of fades to black there. And it ends up going to the Osha Chimere storyline once again. But essentially, we do not, again, know what had happened at Brendok. I am hoping finally we get it. The answers we want in the next episode, because this is literally the last thing he says is that we need to talk and I want you to listen. And the way he did all of that with the stunning, the kind of the handcuffing to the bed, everything just felt very non-Jedi like it, you know, and especially the way he was saying like, now you're going to listen to me, like that just doesn't seem like very Jedi. So Again, that's kind of alluding to the question that we have. Will Soul turn to the dark side? Well, that's the Soul and Mace storyline. Let's go to the Osha and Chimere storyline, which I felt was more interesting. The first thing that I noticed right away, and if you watch the reaction video, you'll see it. Osha wakes up in this kind of cave, and when she goes out, it is very familiar looking. I mentioned that it was very similar to Akto. If you don't know where that is the island where in Last Jedi, where Rey had to find Luke, and where he ended up training her for a bit. Very big green, it was like a nice little island, a lot of green, very much like Akto. Actually, today, Collider had released a article that was interviewing the creator, Leslie Headland, and Leslie actually says it is not Akto. This is a quote from Leslie. "It's not Akto. I know it's similar, and it was intentionally supposed to be similar in terms of terrain and feeling isolated and surrounded by water, and less lush green and more rocky. But the idea is that the cortosis is mined on this planet, so I don't think that's the case with Akto. Part of the reason this is his home base is that cortosis is a very rare metal. I don't think we say it explicitly in the show, but that's the reason it's not Akto." So, kind of confirmation there that it's not Akto. And even more interestingly enough, that the reason this is his base is because of the cortosis, and we'll get into that a little bit. So when Osha wakes up, she ends up going outside and onto this like kind of rocky area where she sees Chimere and kind of follows him to this water, this pool area, where essentially he bathes. I don't know what else you would put it. It doesn't seem like any type of ritual. He was just stinky and he needed to take a bath. But then when he is kind of disrobing, you kind of see that there is a big scar on his back. So that's the first time we had seen that particular scar on Chimere. So of course that's going to ask questions later. And during this time, as he's in the pool and notices his scars, that's when she steals his lightsaber. And the one thing I like about Chimere is that he really does toe the line of kind of just a regular person and a Sith Lord, or just somebody that's on the dark side, maybe not full Sith Lord. But early on, he says, "You're wondering if it's honorable to kill me like this. Heat of the battle, it's justified. But a few hours later, it's vengeance." So he's questioning, you know, why Osha is not, you know, kind of just striking him down right then and there, when probably hours later, when they were on Kofar, if she had the opportunity, she would do it, you know. And it's at this point that Chimere reveals that he was a former Jedi, after Osha had kind of mentioned, like, you seem to know a lot about the Jedi, you know. And he does reveal that, yes, that he was, in fact, a former Jedi. Now, but he says it was a long time ago. That I'm curious of what that means. I feel like that's a little bit more loaded. Maybe seem like a throwaway question, but I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit more to it, and I'll say why in a little bit here. During that, Chimere is really trying to show Osha her own strength in the Force and not to confuse it with Soul's. So then again, here is Chimere trying to almost smooth talk her into showing her, like, you're actually more powerful than you think you are, I should say. You're more powerful than Soul. You know, this is who you are. And basically he's just saying, like, and I can show you the way. Eventually, that's kind of the thought that he wants to get across, is that I need a pupil and you could be that pupil. I really think Chimere's role, the writing that they did for Chimere is actually pretty good, because you almost like listen to him and you're like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And that's what Osha's thinking. That's, you know, you want Osha to think that. She even said, you know, something to the effects of, "Did you pitch that to my sister?" So maybe this is his pitch to the people he wants to be his pupil. But at the same time, it's just like, well, it seems to be effective also. And through this, all, you know, Chimere essentially is trying to lure Osha to the dark side, which is no surprise. He sees this strength in her. He sees that she is powerful in the Force and can be used in a certain way. He says a quote here that is very, very familiar, you know, talking about, you know, there's something beneath that is more powerful, fear, you know. And the last thing he says is desire. Now, there's some talk now, and I think even Leslie Headland even mentioned that there is something a brewing between Osha and Chimer, much like we saw with what we saw in Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker with Rey and Kylo. Something very similar is happening here with Osha and Chimer, and you could tell the kind of I don't know any other word that I would say, the kind of the passion that they have like towards each other, like that it's kind of, it's, you can kind of see it in some scenes, particularly the scene where Osha runs out and he kind of runs off after her and tells her like, you stayed around to finish a job, do it, you know, just, you know, why, you know, you should just light the lightsaber and just end me, you know. And just the kind of that fire that they had there, very reminiscent of what we saw in Rey and Kylo. So, and it seems like that's kind of the way that Leslie wanted to portray it. If that ends up being anything a little bit later on, we don't know. Here, I wanted to take a moment to mention what I said earlier was when he said, I have been around here a long time. He was pretty okay in the moment to be like, if you kill me, that, you know, you should just kill me. I don't know if that was a bluff. Or if he has been dead before, or if he has, you know, when you say something like, I've been around a long time, or I was a Jedi a long time ago, that really could mean anything. I'm curious now to see if Chimer is one of these people, someone like a Plagueis that can, you know, kind of avoid death or escape death, if you will. We'll see what comes up with Chimer. His story, his character just gets more interesting every episode, and I'm actually very happy about that. At this point, Osha confesses she has failed to be a Jedi. And again, that's during that kind of like battle. I wouldn't even say a battle, like a little heated discussion that they had outside of the cave there. Later in this episode, we find out that Cortosis is confirmed. The Cortosis helmet is confirmed. And as mentioned in the article in Collider, it is because on this unnamed planet is apparently a great resource planet for Cortosis. That is why Chimer has set up his camp there, set up his base there, because he has an unlimited Cortosis there to build helmets and armor and everything else. Just an interesting little tie-in to... I know that Cortosis has kind of popped up in other things like Dr. Aphra and other comics, and I think it originated back in the Legends books and all that, but to have it here kind of confirmed is kind of nice, because you're just like, okay, this is what it is. Apparently this is something they used... similar to what the younglings used in the Jedi training, where it basically deadens all of your other senses and it's only kind of like you and the Force, which is kind of cool, actually. At the end of it, Chimer wants Osha to put on the helmet. She doesn't trust him, obviously. At the end of the episode, the very end, back when we saw Sol and Mei kind of not tell what's going on with what happened at Brendok, it cuts to black, then it goes over to the Osha story, and she ends up putting on the helmet. You can see very, very little. There's like little slits there at the front of the helmet, and all you can hear is her breathing. Very reminiscent of any mask that you ever hear about Kylo Ren, Darth Vader. You know, it kind of changes the way she breathes, and you can hear it. And it was actually very scary to me. If you watch the reaction video, I was kind of like on the back of my seat because I didn't want to get scared or spooked or anything like that. Because there are definitely elements in this series that are kind of like horror-like. So I was kind of waiting for a jump scare to end it, and I would have been like, ooh, you know, whatever. But at the end of it, yeah, that's kind of how it ended with the helmet going on to Osha. And yeah, I mean, I was, you know, when I watched this again, I was surprised how much I really was kind of rooting for Chimer, to be honest, because he had some good points. Now, does that make me dark side? I think if Ben were here, he would be super happy to hear that I was kind of leaning dark side on this one now. But on the Sol side of things, though, he is also kind of leaning, maybe not too far, but definitely looking towards like darker tendencies. When I say that, I mean, you know, kind of showing emotions, not, I should say, more non-Jedi type tendencies, showing a lot more emotion, making emotional decisions. I thought the name of the episode really makes sense, because you could either teach or corrupt somebody, you know, in that place of power where you're trying to teach somebody, you could actually do either. You could be teaching them or corrupting them into a different life that maybe they never really realize that's what they wanted in the first place, which I think in Osha's case is kind of what it is. I think on this episode, Osha kind of makes more sense to me as far as, you know, who she is. Mainly because, I should say, because she doesn't know what to do. So she's kind of getting manipulated in this way. Whether it is because she truly has a darker side, or she doesn't want to follow Jedi type of rules and laws, or there is an actual desire between her and Chimera, you know. So there's a lot going on with Osha here. With Mei, it seems a little bit more like, well, that's just Mei. That's kind of like what she's been doing this whole time. What I was curious about, like, what was her end goal was to murder Sol at the end of this, and then kind of flipped it because he was like, well, I'm going to tell everybody what happened on Brendok. Was that why she didn't end up doing that? So there's a little bit of the motivation part, I think, that we've struggled throughout this series with Mei that kind of continues on a little bit in this episode, unfortunately. I enjoyed the episode. It seemed like it was well-written. More Chimera, more I'm happy about it. A little bit too much of Chimera, if you know what I'm saying. If you watch the episode, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, overall, I think it was a decent episode. I didn't like it as much as last week's episode because of, you know, obviously all the lightsabers and the reveals. And, you know, so that I gave that a 9. And I think even on the reaction, I kind of gave this like an 8, 8.5. I'll stick with that, an 8 and 8.5. I think it gave a little bit of push to the storylines, which I liked. A little bit more background of Chimera, which I really liked. So yeah, I give it about an 8, 8.5 for this episode. Let us know what you think though as well. And in addition to that, let us know about our viewer question, what you think will happen. Will Sol turn to the dark side? Do you think some of his non-Jedi tendencies is going to actually pull him all the way to the dark side? We'd love to hear some theories and thoughts on that here on YouTube or on any of our socials. Well, that's it about this week. On next week's episode, episode 88, of course, we'll be continuing to talk about the Acolyte. Episode 7, we've got 2 more weeks left of the Acolyte. I hope we get some more answers. I hope we learn more about Chimera. I hope we learn more about what happened on Brendok, I mean, especially. Yeah, that's what we'll be talking about next week's episode. Can't believe it's 2 weeks out and 2 weeks left of this season and possibly series. Who knows if there's, I don't think there's any talk of season 2 at this moment, but there might be. I did not mention this earlier, but for the finale week, we are looking to do a live broadcast on YouTube. Keep updated on all of our socials, and we will make sure to let people know when that will be. It should be a good time. We'll have some fun things to talk about, obviously, with the finale, and I've got some other things planned, so come on by. And again, one last time, thank you all for supporting us over almost 2 years, if you can believe it. At this point, we have 432 subscribers here on the YouTube channel, trying to get to that 500. So tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your grandparents who we are and have them subscribe here. If you haven't subscribed, please consider subscribing so you can be notified of all the new things that we talk about week by week here. I've been trying to do a lot more YouTube shorts to get us a little bit more content based off of these podcasts. So if there's anything in the podcast that you want us to do shorts of, let us know as well. You can email us at hothhangout@gmail.com with any questions or comments about Star Wars or anything else so we could talk about it here on the podcast. The Hot Hot Hangout podcast is available anywhere you get your pods, including Apple's podcasts and Spotify. Please leave us a 5-star review if you can, so others can find us. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and X under @HothHangout. And of course, you could find the Discord server link in our show notes if you'd like to join there as well. It's been a great time. We missed Ben, of course. We missed Gibbo. I'm happy that we were able to still have a little bit of a quick podcast episode. I think I beat Ben by a little bit. I'm not quite sure. And of course, thank you to Gibbo for producing the show, videos, and assets, and who would never, ever turn to the dark side. Once again, thank you for watching this episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast, and may the Force be with you.